For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A mixed bag this week. We speak to an old friend of the show, making progress every season at his club in the number of recent years. Now in the FA Trophy fourth round and pushing for a playoff spot is in the National League. Phil Parkinson, yes, non-league's very own Phil Parkinson, thinks his Altrincham side are coming together nicely. Although the Christmas schedule isn't quite as he'd hoped, highlighting the big sacrifices those involved in football often have to make. With a similar schedule though, after weeks without competitive football, a step five at Tivadale, their part-time outfield hoped to get the FA Vars third round tie played this weekend at their third attempt, competing still in four cup competitions but not having had a league game since October. It's been a strange season, but one manager Stuart Howe is confident will bring rewards. Rounding up the week's news then, and the show, is John Couch, executive editor at the Non-League paper. So there is plenty to come. Just sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start the week off then with a bit of reflection and a bit of forward-looking too. With a manager who's gone quietly about his business for many a year, but this term appears to have, well, got his dressing room and club all around him working like clockwork. A midweek win sees them into the FA Trophy fourth round in the next month that could define their season, even define their history. Who knows? No pressure then, but welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to manager at Altrincham FC, Mr. Phil Parkinson.
Hi, Tim. You okay?
I'm very good. I guess you are as well. Tuesday night then, 0-0 draw at Halifax Town. But you came home 6-5 winners on penalties. I bet that was a long evening, wasn't it?
It was a very long evening, especially when my centre-half was dismissed after 23 minutes. It made it even a longer evening than expected. It's always going to be tough going to Halifax, one of the best defences in the league. So we knew we'd have our hands full and we knew we'd have to be at it. Obviously, the holders of the competition as well. Mm-hmm. It was a long night and one that we were really pleased to get the result, especially with going a man down and winning on penalties. It felt like a little bit of payback, if I'm honest, for last season where we felt we played really well and didn't go through when they beat us in the semi. So, it was a good night all round.
And the FA Trophy, something that means so much to your club as well. Winners in, what, 78, 86, runners-up in 82. Does it have that little extra bit of magic then at the club because of all that history?
Oh, definitely. That's one thing the club's got going for it. Everyone speaks about history in football, don't they? We've got it in abundance, especially in non-league, the FA Cup, FA Trophy, getting to the point where they should have been playing in the Football League two seasons on the bounce and not getting voted in. There's loads of little things that make the club great and lots of little disappointments that don't sit great with them in terms of what's on there with the promotion stuff. So the FA Trophy certainly a special one. The FA Cup's massive. One that I've probably not done well enough in as a manager. We've got to the second round against Portsmouth once, but then probably haven't done well enough in the FA Cup. The FA Trophy, we got to the semi-final last year, and as I said, we felt desperately unlucky that we didn't get to the final.
And you're now last 32, an away trip to Kidderminster Harriers, who themselves we know were beginning to hit form despite their league position. That sniff of Wembley now. How far, you know, the balance of league and FA Trophy, what's the priority?
I think we want to do well in both, to be honest with you. We feel that we've come a long way, as you said, about going about our business the last couple of seasons. It's my seventh season at Altrincham now, if I got my maths right, and each season there's been something that we've added to and built on. Especially in this division, going from part-time to full-time, probably having the lowest budget in the league and building it up via selling players, the model that we've had in terms of reinvesting the money and gaining interest, gaining higher attendances. Everything's been built season on season. We've had nothing given to us. And because we're at that point now where I felt we probably were, when we first come in, where we can compete with the big boys, where for probably two seasons, when we first come into this division, I felt like every game was almost like an FA Cup game for us. It was a game where we had to be above and beyond ourselves 110%. Otherwise, we get beat unless the other team have a bit of an off day. And the brand of football has never changed. Our philosophy has never changed. We've evolved. We've adapted. We've recruited really well again this summer. We've had to recruit. If you don't recruit well one year, you go down in a division. So every year we've recruited well. But this year, with the lads we sold last year in particular, your Josh Lundstroms, your Ryan Colclough, your Toby Malarkey's, and there's been like 10 others before that as well. It's all been reinvested in. We've been able to recruit some really good players this season, and that's why you're seeing the results you are, and why we feel we can fight on all fronts.
As I said, you've got a busy month ahead, haven't you? You've got the home league match Saturday against the bottom of the table, obviously Fylde, but also doing well in the trophy. Then Saturday the 23rd, you're the evening TV game at Bromley, then home to FC Halifax in the league on Boxing Day, then away to them on New Year's Day, then Saturday the 6th of January, home to Barnet. I mean, there's never an easy game in this division, but there's no let up at all with that schedule, is it? I bet you're pleased now. You got a full-time outfit and you've got a squad to help you get through that.
No, definitely. Well, we turned full-time last year, didn't we? And obviously we had a good look at it then. And probably come Christmas time, we were probably on for the playoffs until I called it the January raid, where we'd lost pretty much our whole front line and our captain. So we did really well to sort of get to the semi-final of the trophy and survive in the division. If I'm honest with you, a lot of teams that would have sent under. So we've reinvested. We've got a good squad, and as you said, we've got a real tough month. And this was the time where we lost all them players. So hopefully we don't lose our players this time. And if we can, we want to keep on and go one better than what we did last season. Not drop off. When I say one better, half better, where we had to drop off near the end, all the lads, but it just ran out of gas. Staying in the FA Trophy, and we're in the Cheshire Senior Cup as well, so we've got a County Cup for another competition to do well in. So it's an exciting time to be at Altrincham, and we just want to continue. The only thing that'll hurt us, like it hurts any clubs, is injuries. So as long as we can stay as injury free as possible, we've had a lion's share of injuries this season. But as I said, the squad's been good enough to be able to cope with it, so we're hoping we can continue in that vein.
And with it being such a busy time, it's not only a busy time in football with your schedule, but also a busy time family-wise and that with Christmas as well. Do you have to rely even more on that team around you? Obviously, you've got Neil as your assistant, but beyond him too. Is that when, when that next match is up, is that when you need them to have, done so well to prepare the whole unit? So that you've got all that necessary info to hand, so you go straight into that next match ready, fully prepared.
Yeah, it's massive, and that's what full-time gives you. I mean, it was always just me and Neil, to be honest with you, and growing it, and we've got a good staff around us, and it's not perfect in terms of the bits that need to be better, but that's what we do. We try and improve things. I call it marginal gains. I do a lot of that with my players, 1%. And we have everything that we've done is made us better, made us strong, as we reflect heavily on bits that we haven't done well previously or could do better. And like you said, what you're touching on there, we feel we've got the instruments at this level at this time in Altrincham sort of trajectory to keep doing well. So, yeah, we'll certainly be ready for every game that's coming up. And like I said, the only thing that I'm really concerned about, as everyone is injuries around this time here, because the schedule is so heavy. So if we can get through that, keep the players on the pitch, keep the best players on the pitch, we give ourselves a real chance in every game.
But I guess it's a balance as well, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, that you're trying to get those extra 1% out of them, but they're still human. That Saturday game and then that Boxing Day game, especially the Saturday one being an evening game in London, you've got to get back. Does that mean that maybe your time on the coach back with the lads is going to have to be part work as much as a chill because you've got Christmas in between?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing much work at that time of night. But it's not great, is it? I'll be honest, I wasn't very happy with that. One, we've got Bromley away at that point. Two, it's a TV game, which we all love the TV games, but when you put back later as well, so that means we're going to get back later, so the lads will be absolutely wiped out, including myself, Christmas Eve, so I won't get them in Christmas Eve, but unfortunately for our lads, because of that fixture, we'll be in Christmas Day. Wow. So, yeah, these are the sacrifices you make, unfortunately. I mean, I've got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, I'm going to miss them on opening the presents on Christmas Day, which, as you can imagine, when you talk about support networks, hasn't gone down pretty well with my wife, but ultimately... and my kids as well. I don't want to. I certainly don't want to miss that. Yeah. I'm making out like it's my wife's angry, but ultimately, it's something I don't want to miss. But these are the bits where you're saying about preparation, that these are the fine margins. As you said, we are human. We're all human, but we're in an environment where everyone's always trying to find the edge. And if we don't do it right, somebody else will, and that could cost us. And I'm not willing to allow that to happen.
Mm. Yeah, but these are the bits that, yeah, talking to guys like you, that as normally as fans, we probably wouldn't understand that. We wouldn't see that. And, you know, it's great when we can go and watch our clubs play on a Saturday, on a Boxing Day and that sort of thing. But there's so much that goes into it, just getting that game on.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, I said to Neil a number of times, we stood at the sideline or on the way to a game, and I said, isn't it crazy how much time and effort goes into 90 minutes of football where it could go either way and nobody realises everything that you've done to make sure that you've left no stone unturned. But ultimately, that's the way the game is now. It's not where you turn up and you hopefully put the best players on the pitch, which is vitally important, because ultimately the best players who are trained, motivated, educated, all those things will get the result if it all goes to plan. But football doesn't always go to plan as well, does it? It's just so much does go into it now. It's quite mind-blowing to think of, hey, when I was playing, what it's like now, and it is full on, and it'll only get more intense. Everything's measured, everything's under the microscope, there's nothing left to chance, even at these levels. So if you're not doing it right, you get found out and you fall down the pecking order very quickly.
And you've already sort of made inference to it earlier on about the small progressions you've made season on season. I mean, you must be one of the longest serving managers in the National League, if not non-league. You've been there and built wisely. But I think you've built the side in sort of a progressive way as well, all the way through. I look at the table there, 21 games played for you in the league, 29 goals conceded. That says great defensive line, but I sense it also says a lot about the way you set the team up and how hard the team worked for you as a defensive unit across the whole squad.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that we had to dramatically improve on from last season, so... at one point, we had a real good defensive record, and as I said, a number of changes happened, and we conceded far too many goals, and a lot of people would have tore up the defence at that point, and we've stuck by our young players, and that's what we were. And as you said, progression takes time, and if you don't have... You've either got two things, haven't you? You've got a lot of time to work with people, or you've got a lot of money, you're going to buy people, and you're going to help and get the results straight away, so... We're that team where we have reinvested, we have paid for players this time, but that's been reinvestment of players that we've sold. So it's not one money man at Altrincham. We've had to work really hard with that. And then that plays into the defence in terms of we haven't gone out and bought anybody extra special in defence. We've got lads who were here last season, and we had the fourth worst defensive record in terms of goals conceded last season. And now, as you're alluding to there, it's turned around because we've persevered, we've developed, we've improved. And we stuck by him as well. These are young lads. I listened to Tommy Witherington last night when Aldershot, the Stockport, was saying about their models very similar to ours, or maybe they used us as a model. And that they're giving these young players a chance who probably weren't quite good enough for Football League first team. So we've got like Eddie Jones, who was at Stoke City. We had Lewis Baines, who dropped down out of Fleetwood. Jake Cooper, who was at Rotherham. These were young pros, James Jones, who was at Barrow, who had previously and sold to Barrow, by the way. So it's like we've got a number of players who are really flourishing in this environment and getting stronger season on season. And that's why, not just in defence, all over the pitch, we're seeing the sort of results we are because of the patience and development we're putting in.
Yeah, and again, you made reference to it there about the progression off the field as well. You've not got that one big... investor, but we've seen new investors, a group of investors, not just one big money spender come on board again this season. And I sense that probably helps you maintain that very family-friendly-esque sort of feeling that there's always been at Alti.
Yeah, I think that's really important to me as a manager, and I know it's something as a football club we sort of pride ourselves on, certainly while I've been there, that environment where people want to go into it, want to be around it, and you get a real warm feeling for the place. And every football club says it, but you know yourself, you walk into some, they're like empty shells, or they're a new build. and they've lost the staff or whatever. Altrincham have got, as I said, that bit, the topic that we spoke about at the start, a proud history, and a lot of the volunteers, a lot of the staff have been part of it in some way, shape or form. And the new investors who have come in terms of these people who bought into the football club in terms of wanting to invest, they're all local people, and it's not like they've thrown millions and millions at it. We have had a little bit of investment from them, but it's you look at our stadium. We went to the Shady obviously last night, and their stadium compared to ours is night and day. And it's like we've got so much catching up in terms of stadia infrastructure, but we are, that's what we're catching up with, and it takes a lot of investment. People won't invest if they don't see a project, and that's what Altrincham's got. It's got that family feel where people can see we've got the community at heart. We develop players. We do as many things right as we can, which all football clubs, I'm not trying to say we're reinventing the wheel here, all football clubs want to do it, but we're doing it, and it's been on an upward trajectory, which people love to be a part of. And when you get a bit of momentum in football, it's brilliant, and we've had it season on season, so long may it continue for me.
Yeah, football's all about the people, isn't it? You need the right people in the right places all the way across the football club. You also mentioned there the club missing out on the Football League in the past. With all these progressions, could Alti make it to the Football League and challenge?
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't still be here if I didn't feel that one club had the aspiration or the ability to do it. Like a player, I've had a number of opportunities to success in football. Myself and Neil have moved on a number of times. We have to believe in the project, and it's a two-way street, isn't it? It's one of them. They've looked after us, we've looked after them. And that's kind of what the club reflects, and that's kind of what players will respond to as well. They can see that, they know, as they have opportunities, we have, and we've stuck by them. And that doesn't always happen. Players, we've all become part where we've transitioned from part-time to full-time is a pretty settled squad. The only bit of uncertainty we've had is probably in this division, because we have had to reinvent ourselves, which is the first time in the club history it's had the desire or the need to go full-time, because they've always been able to cope when the so-called, you know, like the glory days of Altrincham, where they were the giant killers in the FA Cup. The part-time, you can't, very rare, but I don't know if you'll ever see that again, where teams are doing that in a part-time environment. So I'm sure you'll get the odd fluke, not fluke, but the odd sort of upset now and again, but it won't be like what it was years ago where an Altrincham were doing that. So, yeah, we've converted with the times, and the football club have bought into it. I've got the bug. And like I said, it's sort of, it's contagious. It just flows through the football club. And when people come through the door and come into the building, they feel that as well, and they want to be a part of it. And that's key growth.
Yeah. And for you, I know you've never been worried about maybe being the second most famous Phil Parkinson. But now with success comes extra attention. Are you comfortable with that? That extra attention that comes with it, extra pressure as well?
I don't get any. You're the only person who rings me up, so it's no problem. No, it's, I certainly don't look at it like that. I mean, funny stories, actually, wherever I've been in the past, when you go and watch a game, the disappointment on people's faces when I walk through the door because they were waiting to see the Wrexham party or what the other clubs he's been at before. And he's earned that right with his career he's had, so I've got no issue with that. But yeah, in Altrincham, I think I've done enough.
There is only one Phil Parkinson. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I did what I said.
I'll let everybody into a secret now. When I got overexcited last night, and instead of typing the text message, I used Siri to send a message to Tommy Widdrington. Only I sent it to the wrong Tommy Widdrington, ex-manager at Thamesmead Town, who will be back very soon in management, he tells me. But yeah, that's the thing. When managers are just too famous nowadays, that's the problem.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'll take your word for that.
Phil, look, I better leave you to go because, as I say, you've got a busy month ahead of you. Always appreciate your time and your input. Continue the great work that you're doing at Altrincham, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
Okay, so this weekend we see some of those FA Vars third round ties hopefully finally being played. I think 11 of the 32 matches still to go in the 50th anniversary year of the competition. One of those is Tividale of the Midland Premier against Ashby Ivanhoe of the United Counties League. Two previous attempts to play the game have seen weather postponements, so this Saturday they try with a fixture reversed and Tividau hosting for a chance to reach the last 32. To tell us how frustrating it's all been, let's welcome to the Non-League Football Show manager at Tividau, Mr. Stuart Howe. Welcome, Stuart.
Hiya, mate. You okay?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I mean, how frustrated are you guys? Because I think you've been without competitive football, what, for over 2 weeks now? And I'd imagine, however good a coach you are, without games, it's hard to implement what you're trying to tell the lads.
Yeah, it has been frustrating. Obviously, week by week, we've prepared for the game. So you find yourself repeating the same kind of things to the boys. But in massive credit to the lads, you know, we've been in every postponed. We've been in again tonight. So you know, we've done all we can, really, to prepare. And, you know, we're in a good place. Confidence is high at the moment around the squad. So, you know, we're just looking forward to getting the game on. And obviously, we have got that bigger incentive now that it's at home without that small travel, yeah.
Yeah, and you say you've had, you know, you prepared well. I'd imagine, yeah, having extra time, it sounds like you've got more chances to prepare. But I guess they're not playing games either. So in reality, probably not much opportunity to gain much more insight into the opposition.
No, not well, absolutely not. I mean, you know, you try and do as much research as you can on opponents, but when they come from a different league and they're so far away, it is difficult to get information and plan tactically for the game. But, you know, I think we try and kind of focus a bit too much on opponents at the start of the season, and rather than concentrating on ourselves. And, you know, the recent turning success that we've had is because we've focused more on the things that we're doing well. And that's what we've just hammered home to the lads in the last few. Look, concentrate on what we're doing, respect our opponents, but, you know, go into games with no fear. And that's exactly what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, and the winners face a trip to Stourport Swifts in the final 32. 13th of January, that game will be. Ironically, I think they're your league opponents this Tuesday. Is that an omen?
Yeah, they are. They're our league opponents Tuesday. We've already played them twice this season. We played them in the league at our place and we drew one each. And we played them in one of the cup competitions as well. We went there and won 4-0. But you know that they've got an excellent record in the league. You know, and ultimately each and every game's different. I think that'll be a game where both managers know a bit more about their opponent. But, you know, at this level of football, every single game is different. You know, and, you know, player availability and form play such a big part in the games that, you know, we can't even really look to that yet until after the weekend. Our focus has got to be on Ashby, and we know what a success that will be as well.
Yeah, and already progress to this stage of the VAR has been tight. Second qualifying round, home to Shawbury United, a 1-0 win. Wisbech Town, that was another one that was postponed multiple times, wasn't it? You won that on penalties. And in round two, Shirebrook Town, you overcame them. Are you expecting a similarly tight game on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ironically, despite our success in the competition, you know, I don't think we've played particularly well in any of the games in the VARs this year. You know, Shawbury, we went down to 10 men in the first half. And, you know, credit to the boys, we 10 men, we showed good character and won the game 1-0. Wisbech, when we went there, we should have been out of sight at half time. But, you know, we weren't. And in fairness to them, second half, they probably felt that they should have won the game themselves, and our goalkeeper was tremendous in the shootout and won us the game. And then obviously Shirebrook at home, there wasn't a lot in it, but we come out 2-0 winners. But, you know, I think in the recent run of good form that we've been on, that they've probably been our poorest performances in the VARs. But you know, ultimately the cup game is about getting a result, so, you know, we'll take that.
Yeah, you said about, you know, sort of getting almost like that confident vibe within the players. I mean, you've been in the role of manager there since the summer, but you know the club as well as anybody, I would have thought. Former player of the club, assistant to former boss Dave King for many years, and you've seen success. The club did make the fifth round of the VARs in 2011, 2012. Are there excited whispers around the beaches about a potential run this year?
Yeah, well, of course. I think there's players within the ranks that are excited. It's probably the furthest that some of them have played in this competition. But, you know, we've got to try and we've got to try and keep everybody grounded. You know, ultimately the dream of playing at Wembley is there for everybody as long as they're in the competition. But, you know, you can't look past the next game. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's unrealistic, you know. Ultimately, we're a step five club and the highest ranked team in the competition is at step five. So every game is winnable, but it's a great ask. So, and we're fully aware of the challenges that we face with Ashby on Saturday and whoever else we face further on in the competition. We've just got to take each game as it comes and not try and get carried away.
And you've inferred about the start of the season that you had. To me, I'm looking on paper and it looks like you're a cup side through and through. What is it? Last competitive action on the field, I think, was you beating Walsall in the Birmingham Senior Cup. But there's four cup competitions you're still involved in. Isn't it the Midland League Cup, the Walsall Premier Cup and the Vars as well?
Yeah.
Is it that mentality on the day?
No, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, in the summer we did struggle to recruit with our resources and things. And, you know, as the season's gone on, we've added some real quality players to the group. Unfortunately, we've played one league game since the 14th of October. You know, so we haven't been able to rectify our situation in the league, which we're obviously not happy about. And we are where we are in the league situation. But, you know, with the players that we've brought in, we know that we've got much more depth within the squad and a lot more quality within the squad than what we had at our disposal at the start of the season. So, you know, obviously our ambition is to improve on our league position, but we also want to stay in the cup competitions. We want to play as many games as possible. And football's all ultimately about winning trophies, and we want to stay in all the cup competitions and give ourselves the best chance of doing that, despite knowing how difficult it would be to actually come out on top in one.
Yeah, and it is, if you're recruiting players, you know, a side that's doing well and sort of, you know, on the verge of winning silverware is obviously a lot easier to recruit players. Yeah? One of the players I know you've recruited in recent weeks, Jack Till from Highgate United, they're still in the Vars. Is he eligible to play for you on Saturday?
No. Tilly's done his first session with us tonight. Unfortunately, he's cup-tied in the Vars. He's played a part in a couple of the previous games for Highgate. And, you know, he'll be an important player for us moving forward. But you know, ultimately, I don't think it's our success in the cup competitions that's got players over the line. I think that the players themselves are kind of bringing players in. Do you know what I mean? They're hearing the likes of Lewis Wright and Kane Smith, who we've brought in recent weeks, and now Jack Till, and it just becomes a more appealing proposition for them. As I've mentioned before, resources wise, we can't compete with some of the other sides. So, you know, we've got to do our best to create an environment that the players enjoy coming in, to work hard. I feel like we're very, very fit because we have had real consistency with our training. And, you know, until we start playing regular league games, we can't do anything about that position. But that is our bread and butter, and that is our main aim, is ultimately climbing up that table and opportunities to do so.
Any successful side needs players that want to play for you as a manager, play for the club, but also play for each other, haven't you? You might have had a rest without competitive games recently, but on paper, at least, you've got five games between here now and the end of the year. Vars on Saturday, then that league game away at Stourport Swifts on Tuesday, away at Atherstone Town Saturday the 23rd, home to Wolverhampton Casuals Boxing Day, then away to Lichfield City on Saturday the 30th. We spoke with Phil Parkinson, the gaffer at Altrincham, earlier on the show, who said he was talking about the toll on the Christmas schedule on both him and his full-time players. So for part-timers your lads, I mean, you really do need people that are willing to run through walls for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest issue with that is at the start of the season, if we had one or two players missing, we were really affected by it. We couldn't cope with one or two key players being out injured or suspended or holidays as they are in the summer at this level. You know, we've managed to get to the squad to a place now where we can cater for one or two people missing. You know, we have the squad has improved immensely from between the start of the season and now, and you know, we've been very fortunate to pick up players, whether they've gone to higher level and it's not quite worked out, we've managed to attract them to us, or also some personal relationships from the past where we've managed to draft a few in. And ultimately, you know, the players are the key to your success. As much as you want to try and take plaudits, you know, it's the players that are kicking every ball and scrapping for you. And, you know, over this, we've worked out between now and the end of the season, if we get no more success, we've got 24 games in 4 months. You know, that's an average of 6 games a month. So, you know, the squad is going to be important. 11 ain't going to do it for you.
You're going to be spending a lot of time with each other as well, aren't you? I know you've been down the club tonight, Thursday evening. How's it all looking for Saturday, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, well, as I say, we've planned as much as we can do. We've had to work away from the club tonight. We've had to book a different facility because we didn't want to train on the pitch and put the pitch in any jeopardy for Saturday. So the pitch has had a 4 weeks rest since anyone's been on it. But, you know, we've had everybody, bar one, I think, who's available for Saturday has been in tonight. You know, we've had a high-intensity training session. And, you know, as I say, we've done all that we can do. We know that Ashby are doing well in their league. They're a newly promoted side. They've won the playoffs in Dudley's team last season. And, you know, we know it's going to be a tough test, but I think we just feel a little bit more confident in the fact that we've got that home advantage now.
Stuart, we'll be looking out for the result probably 5 o'clock by the time these games all finish nowadays, isn't it? Really appreciate you coming on the non-league football show. Best of luck with Tiverdale, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for your time. Thank you. All the best, mate.
Time once again then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers and need to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
Well, I'm getting there in Christmassy. I think I must have zoned out on Christmas songs nowadays. I'm just sort of like, I can see on the horizon. I mean, we've just spoken to Phil Parkinson this week, at Altrincham about, you know, their run of games. It really is. We always say about Christmas is can be the turning point for seasons. But you know, to look at the games that they've got coming up, games across the league. Christmas is such an important time for non-league football, also for non-league clubs, because we've got a number of clubs that probably haven't played a league game at home, maybe even November or December. So they're desperate for these games and desperate for the money that comes with them.
That's right, yeah. The Christmas schedule's a bit of talking point, isn't it, for a long time. As you know, there's some people out there who believe that, Christmas should be a time for non-league players to rest, but not for me. I mean, I'm a traditionalist. I love football at Christmas at all levels, and non-league football, it's vital. I mean, obviously, as we know, it's the time for a derby football, and the chance to sort of get your two teams most local to you, going head to head. It's an opportunity to sort of bring families down and swell the gates up, and get a sort of community feel around the place, and get those bars busy and those burger vans, and let's try and help our local club to earn a little bit of money. I think that's the important too. But also, it's the fact that because there's so much football in a short space of time, it becomes a very important part of the season, and we're at a stage now for most leagues where things are just starting to get that little bit more interesting, and if you can put a little run together around this time of year, at the turn of the year, sort of going into January, then it can make a big difference to your season, and so I think I think managers and players alike, and more importantly the fans as well, I love Christmas football, and there's plenty of it coming up, and can't wait really. It'd be nice to get out and put on the hat and scarf and gloves and get down to your local club and give your local club a festive cheer.
Yeah, and I think probably we're talking what Thursday afternoon. And top of the shop, really, news talking points this week has got to be that win in the FA Cup Wednesday evening for Tommy Widdrington's Aldershot Town over Stockport County. And I think that will probably help swell the coffers of a few non-league clubs. I mean, seeing the quality of that club from the National League. Talk about that tie that has Stockport Aldershot. There's multiple storylines, isn't there? From needing a replay to that 89th minute winner. I wouldn't say it was a classic FA Cup tie, but there were storylines all over the shop.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, Aldershot's a club very, very close to my heart. I covered them for many years, and I can tell you if there's ever a fan base that deserved a run like this, it's those guys. They really haven't had a lot to cheer about over the years. It's been pretty grim. They've treaded water really at the wrong end of the table for a number of seasons now. There were some out there that believe that this would be another season, but Tommy Richardson has pieced together bit by bit a very, very exciting. Very, very exciting side. Not many household names, it has to be said. But I think that just goes to show what can be done. He's bringing in the likes of Josh Stokes from AFC Sudbury, 18, 19 years old. No one knew anything about him at all. He's come in and played that level like he was made to do so. And I think the biggest problem Tommy's got is keeping him this summer. This January window, because he is non-league's hottest property right now. But the club's result really obviously it's not just about one man. It's about the team as a whole. And to see them come together in front of the BBC cameras, I think it's the first time Aldershot played in front of the BBC cameras on such an occasion. It was just fantastic, and I think another good thing about it was that was the fact that results haven't really gone in the way of non-league teams in recent weeks, especially in midweek or in replays and it might have been one of those ties that got under the radar with the fact that they're playing Stockport County, top of League Two, a big hell of an ask really for them. But to come away and to get a win like that, and then to pick themselves up a tie away at West Bromwich Albion in the third round of the FA Cup is absolutely fantastic for them. And I'm so delighted for Tommy, the players, and everyone behind the scenes as well, who I know have worked so hard. Shahid Azim is a good friend of mine, the chairman, and he works very, very hard. There's a lot of work that goes unheralded at every football club, and Shahid is one of those who works tirelessly, but doesn't always get the credit he deserves. But it's just fantastic for those, and fantastic for those fans. I think just short of 300 making a long trip up to Stockport County on a Wednesday night and getting their award. And as you say, it's great for non-league football, and hopefully it can continue doing the work that the likes of Wrexham, Notts County and Chesterfield have done over the last couple of seasons in raising the profile of the non-league game.
Yeah, and great for all those people involved. Yeah, we have to mention the story of Tommy Widdrington. He left King's Lynn when they were flying high in the National North to take on the Shots job. And Shots at the time, they looked destined really for relegation, didn't they, out of the National League? And now FA Cup third round at West Brom, that's the first weekend of the new year. Then the FA Trophy fourth round the week after that. and they're very much in the playoff hunt as well in the National League. It's, you know, we talk about the stories of non-league. And maybe the media might finally get behind Aldershot and start talking about the stories and the people that are behind that football club, and, you know, all the travails that they've gone through. But, well, you know, what a club really on the up now.
Very much so. I mean, I remember that week. I remember that week well. Towards the end of the last season, I think there was probably about six games to go. And Tommy had got Kings Lynn right up to the top of the National League North. They looked certain for promotion. Aldershot were struggling really, really badly at the bottom end of the National League. They looked odds on as well to go down, and probably made that controversial move. And it raised eyebrows really in both divisions. And Mr. Glee, but I think Kings Lynn wasn't too happy about it. Within a couple of weeks, Tommy had rescued Aldershot's situation, and then went about putting his own mark in it over the summer. As we say, he brought in some players that had gone unheralded elsewhere. Some new names like Lauren Tollage and and the goalkeeper Van Stappershoff come in with very little in the way of pedigree. Scored double figures already this season. Was man of the match on Wednesday night, and all of a sudden he's put himself right in that shop window as well. And it's just great for the club, really. There was a lot of talk at the beginning of the season that Aldershot may have another season of struggle. I never thought so personally. I could just sense that something was perhaps building. But even I must admit, I didn't expect things to be going this well. They've really put themselves in the playoff picture. They're fourth round of the FA Trophy. Excellent result at Eastleigh last week. 2-0 down. Managed to come through on penalties, and they got a tie at Bishop Stortford. Now this is a club that have never been to Wembley. They're going to be celebrating their centenary anniversary in a couple of years' time. Never ever been to Wembley, Aldershot. So those fans can start dreaming again. They've come close so many times, but they've also been hurt so many times. So they won't be making a big deal of it just yet. But you know, certainly with this team and with the spirit and with the excitement that they're generating. Who says they can't? They can't go on and fulfil that dream this year.
Indeed, and I mentioned the FA Trophy as well in the new year for Aldershot. And of course, we had, as you say, those third round ties. Some of them were able to take place last weekend. We had some midweek this week, and in between all of that, we had the draw for the fourth round to be played on the weekend of the 13th of January. This is a nationalised draw, this one. So some really exciting ties. Yeah, I'm looking down the list there. Macclesfield against Dorking Wanderers. Because of these games that play midweek, we now have Gateshead Western Supermare. I hope that one is played on the Saturday. You wouldn't want to do that travel on the Tuesday. And surely the tie, this is probably one for Phil Annette's FA Cup fact file, actually, with his FA Trophy hat on. The most ELY letters ever in a tie, Avely against Fylde.
There's a stat for you. Avely against Fylde. Yeah, I mean, FA Trophy this fourth round always brings up some fascinating ties, doesn't it? Western Supermare. I mean, Western Supermare had a fantastic result in beating Woking, didn't they? Mm. Coming from two goals down to win 3-2, and their reward in inverted commas is a long trip to Gateshead. Similarly, Hampton going so well in the National League South. Excellent was coming from behind to beat Southend United on penalties. They got to go to Hartlepool of all places. So two really, really long trips for those. But this is the business end of the competition. This is what these teams are in it to expect. They're in the last 32. They're four ties from a dream trip to Wembley. And these people, I think, and these players and these managers, and more importantly, these fans can actually start believing. I think at this point that something special could just be round the corner. And it's a fascinating competition. It gives teams like Hampton and Western Supermare the opportunity to pit their wits against the non-league big guns. And I think over the next few weeks there'll be some fans certainly looking forward to getting in that cup spirit. I think it's January the 13th, isn't it, when all the games get underway again? And the FA Trophy never fails to disappoint. Hopefully we could be in for some more. Some more cup classics over the next few weeks.
Yeah, but in the month in between, we've got league action, a full programme in the National League this weekend, which is it feels a rare treat, doesn't it? And I'm looking down the fixtures, and the top three are all on their travels this weekend. You know, Chesterfield are away at Hartlepool. We've got Bromley away at Southend United. Barnet, they travelled to Ebbsfleet United, and we really are sort of halfway through the competition. Bromley themselves have played 23. The 46 that they'll play. So literally halfway through the competition. It's again just so tight across the whole of the National League. I'm looking up and down the table there, and I wouldn't want to rule any of these teams out. We've already spoken about Aldershot's sort of a second coming at the end of last season. Even if you're down the bottom there, there's still hope.
Aldershot would be the benchmark, I think, for a lot of those teams down there, because they've just shown that you can put together a run of a few games and it can make all the difference. If you look also last year at Gateshead, they managed to secure themselves a mid-table finish after an excellent end to the season. And Dorking Wanderers as well. Dorking Wanderers, they looked dead. They looked done and dusted, didn't they, for a long time. But Mark White managed to find another gear out of his Dorking Wanderers side, and they made themselves pretty comfortably safe in the end. It's such a difficult schedule of matches coming up here, but it's also vital at the top. Obviously, Chesterfield are the team to catch. Tricky tie on Saturday though against Hartlepool. I've seen them this season. They do pose a good threat. They've got some excellent players up there, and always difficult place to play. Bromley as well, and they won't be telling twice about how difficult it is to play at Southend. So it could well be another interesting week. Barnet, of course, going to Ebbsfleet. Never like to predict what they're going to do week in, week out. They could either put four or five pasture or concede four or five. They're one of the unpredictable sides of the division this year. But I think that's why we all love it. We're sort of coming into a very difficult period, and there's some big matchups this weekend to sort of get us into Christmas period where it all happens, really.
Yeah, where it all happens. And I touched upon it at the start of this piece where I said about, you know, clubs desperate for the money and how important the Christmas time is for clubs. And off the field, we had some interesting news this week from Mask United. They were basically suspended for a few days from playing football due to a lack of the required licence from the Football Association. It all comes, I think their former chairman stepped down, there's debts needed to be paid and attempts to set up a new company were made to run it, all done in the right spirit, but these things are, well, they're just far more complicated than they look from afar, and they all take time, and I know that certainly from first-hand experience. The good news is that the Northern Premier League have now confirmed that they've got enough information in place and for them to play their league fixture this weekend away to Ilkeston Town. So it does look like things are moving in the right direction. But I guess it's another example of non-league football being a complicated business. And first and foremost, it does need to be a business. We spoke to Altrincham earlier about how they've really created a sustainable model. And that's what we're all looking for in football. And it needs to be self-sustainable, not just one person's pocket. And despite what some may say, there are a great deal of checks and balances that are in place to protect football and football clubs. So there are a number of procedures that need to be followed. They need to be followed in the correct order, need to be done and approved and that sort of thing. So I guess probably from a fan's perspective, it's well worth looking at that Mask United situation to learn that football's not just about 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
I think you know more. Most of them talk just what goes on behind a football club, and the fact that fans don't always see, or very rarely see, actually, these people who run football clubs are things going. It's an industry where for a second it ends up catching you up, and if you get to that situation where you are playing catch up just to make ends meet, then it's difficult situation to get out of. I'm delighted really for the situation at Mask has been handled so responsibly, I think, by the league and by the club and from everyone around here. It could have quite easily have a situation which was irretrievable, but you know thankfully it looks like things are back on track. They didn't gave them a little bit of time away, a little called it a suspension, but it was almost like a timeout period, really, for them.
It was like a standing count, wasn't it?
Which I think was a great move.
Because it could have got very difficult with a, you know...
Sensible, wise move.
Yeah, you could have, you know, people slinging stuff and accusations, that sort of thing. But as you say, I think it's all been done very sensibly and everybody's worked together. And it does appear that... those with now got the control or are running the existing club, they're going to pay back the investments that were made for shares in the intended new company, and they are still, I think, still seeking some crowdfunding via the Just Giving site. I think that's still operational. The figure that they were saying that they needed to see the club through to the end of the season is £120,000, which I know there's been some debate on social media as to, you know, what's that all going forward to, but I think it really does show the kind of money required to sustain a football club at its level and across the pyramid.
So it's kind of work. I spoke this week to Dave Kitson, who's the chairman these days of this, the former Reading and Cambridge and Portsmouth Stoke striker. He's the chairman these days of Owsley Town, who foot of the Midlands League, and David's a young chairman who comes the right way, and he was telling me sort of just how tough it is now, you know, for clubs like Owsley, who not very long ago were one of the biggest clubs in that division, and now they're really struggling just to compete. He said have been sort of banded about with player wages, etc., are amounts that his team just cannot compete with at the moment. And there is a lot of money out there, and it does put pressure on the on those clubs who do struggle to compete. It's a very, very tough industry. And people like Dave, it must be it's an ongoing process, I say, just to be able to compete and keep your heads above water, which is why it's so important that you like ourselves, especially over the Christmas period, we make that extra effort to go down and go and support our local club, put a couple of pints behind the bar, or a burger and a or something, you know, anything really, just to show that support, that support this Christmas, and keep your clubs afloat, because non-league football is so important, not only to football fans, but all over the place. And it would just be great if we can have another Christmas, another New Year, where there aren't any casualties, aren't any concerns, and we can enjoy the football side of the game rather than having to about clubs who may be struggling.
Yeah, of course, your non-league football club is for life, not just for Christmas. And, of course, we used to say that as well about managers, but not too many managerial changes this week of note. There'll no doubt be a few in the coming weeks to come, of course. A few changes, Ajay Ashenki leaves Fisher to take on the job at Basildon United. And on the support side of things, we've seen James Quinn, the assistant coach at Solihull Moors. He's been there since the Tim Flowers era, I think, hasn't he? He's departed for his next adventure. I guess the big change, maybe not an unexpected change, came at Stowmarket Town, still without a win in 13 games in Isthmian North. The committee they apparently had a chat with their management team, Richard Wilkins and Alex Ross this week, but about belt tightening, and so the duo decided their time had come, and it's David Lorimer, the man that's coming in with and in with him, the budgeting expected probably means many player movements too. It's that time of year, John, when clubs also need to be realistic about their season-long prospects and the financial implications of the same.
Unfortunately for managers, the time is the period they dread most. It's never the time when you want to go into sort of fearing for your job, unfortunately, because it's at that of the season, and there's so many games in this short space of time that he is on to get points for these football clubs, and it is sadly the time when the clubs do tend to pull the trigger if things aren't going too well. Sad for the boys at Market, it's certainly heading in the right direction of this season. As I say, I think it was 13 games without a win. I think one of them was a nil beat quite recently as well. So yeah, unfortunately, not quite worked out for them there. Delighted for Basildon. I hope new guy there, whose name escapes me, hits the ground running there, which I'm sure he will. But sadly, I think. I don't think that's going to be the end of the the managerial merry-go-round for Christmas. It's usually at full tilt. But interesting to see what happens at Woking as well. There's been a lot of talk that maybe they're pretty close to replacing Darren Sahl. I think that's a big appointment for them. Hence the delay, I think, in making that move. Since Darren's gone, it's not quite worked out for the caretaker manager Ian Dyer, and Woking have sort of unnoticed really have slid down the table, and that's sort of form that they're going to want to or going to need to address pretty sharp. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see what happens down there at Kingfield.
Yeah, so maybe some managerial changes that might come into the equation for the weekend. Plenty of league action, as I guess some FA Cup reaction as well. What else can we expect in this weekend's edition of the non-league paper, John?
Obviously, all the shots win on Wednesday night things for us. So we've got some Tommy Riddington. Nice interview with him. Matt Dacott has spoken to the Hampton manager, Mel Goodrich, about their recent form. That they're flying high at the moment. As I say, we've got a nice piece with Dave Kitson at Owsley, and of course, as you say, we've plenty of matches to keep us entertained, and over the weekend. Just hope, fingers crossed, that the weather is a little bit kinder to us. It's been it's been a bit difficult the last two Saturdays with games being called off. We've had to. There's been a lot of 11th hour changes. Hopefully, it looks like we might get a fuller calendar in this week. And look forward to be able to report all the big games as we just mentioned.
Oh, I look forward to reading all about it in the non-league paper as ever on Sunday morning. Thanks for all your help, and we'll speak to you again very soon. And that then is it for this week. Thank you as ever to all of my guests and to everybody for listening. Good luck to all of those involved in cup action and league action this weekend. Hopefully we'll get as many games played as possible. Big thank you to everybody for listening too. Don't forget you can follow us and get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Covercast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, wrap up warm, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.